Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Everybody Eats is a joy show for food lovers of all kinds. Tune in as we explore the diverse world of cuisine.
From international flavors, celebrating cultural awareness and traditions, along with fabulous home cooking.
Come join our table to chat about queer health and wellness.
Put viral food trends to the test
and explore inclusivity through food.
Tuesdays at 7, only on Joy.
Welcome to Everybody Eats. What a vibe. Starting us off, bang, with salt and pepper.
Push it.
Very appropriate.
Oh, it was. And we found out that we've had a little bit of trauma with salt and pepper with Milo. It brings back some bad memories from the gym in the 90s.
It was a pump class song for, like, chest. It gives me flashbacks to lying on the floor.
I actually went to the salt and pepper concert in the 90s, and I have such great memories of that.
Oh my god, stop it. So did I. It was my first ever concert.
Oh my god, we were so destined to meet each other.
It was so good. By the way, guys, we've just jumped straight in. You're listening to Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9
with Brett, Robbie and Milo. And before we get started, Joy acknowledges that we work and broadcast from the lands of the Lakut Wheelam clan of the Boonwurrung peoples. We acknowledge traditional owners of lands throughout Australia and pay our respects to elders past and present and brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTIQ plus community. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Yes.
We've got a bit of a show coming up tonight.
Haven't we ever?
We are going to talk about fad diet trends that we've done, ones that we've heard about and never would try, and reflect a little bit on personal experiences, well-being, health
ways
and
to
wellness.
Stay healthy, yeah.
We're definitely going back to the past, aren't we?
Oh, definitely.
Way back.
Way back
tonight.
There's
some crazy ones from the olden days, aren't there?
I mean, we started off with salt and pepper. We've kicked off in the 90s.
Oh, you mean music-wise? Yeah, we're going back in time for some great hits as well, pop hits from the 80s.
Music and fads.
That's right. Let's jump into the main course, shall we, and discuss what we've been eating this week. Anyone got any memorable mouthfuls?
Oh, my goodness. I was inspired by one of our co-hosts, Sasha, who's actually here paneling with us tonight. Thank you, Sasha. You're doing an excellent job. And she made us a delicious dish, if you remember, roasted cauliflower.
Yes.
And I had a bit of a hankering, so I thought I'm going to make myself my own little cauliflower dish. And I made this amazing little, I guess, cauliflower bowl, we'll call it, with chickpeas, dates, peppers and herbs. But I was saying to Brett before, you cut up a lemon in half and you place the lemons face down in the pan and let it roast.
Oh, yum.
And so all the juices and everything are coming out because we love our juices.
Delicious.
And then when that's all roasted, you throw it all together with a nice tahini lemon and mustard dressing.
Oh, delicious. So that was your highlight meal of the week.
That was my highlight meal of the week. What about you, Brett? What were you doing?
What have you been eating?
Well, I was a little bit inspired by your show last week about some viral food trends and things. And there's been something that had been coming up on my feed quite a bit that I just had to try. The chef or the influencer's name is Tom Walsh, and he creates all of these foods which are supposed to be good tasting food with low calories, but they're also really macro balanced so that you get everything that you need for the day. And one of the things that I wanted to try was a low calorie mac and cheese. He has a lot of these low calorie mac and cheese.
I think we saw a picture of that.
I did share it on Saturday night.
Oh my god, he was teasing us all with his mac and cheese. So showing
this,
off.
This was one that just looked amazing on Instagram and I had to try.
And was it tasty even though it was low calorie?
It was really, really good. And the thing was, the reason it was low calorie was because instead of just having pasta and like a heavy fatty cheese sauce, it replaced a few ingredients. Like instead of so much pasta, you would also incorporate mince meat.
Oh, okay.
With the cheese sauce, it was a combination of like small amounts of like tasty cheddar, Parmigiano Reggiano, but then also quite a big serving of nutritional yeast.
Oh, I love that.
And blended cottage cheese. So because blended like cottage cheese is so high protein, it just gives it that extra protein boost. And of course, like
helps
veggies,
the texture, I guess, as well.
Capsicum, onion. So it was kind of like a taco-y mac and cheese. It was delicious. Yeah. I made six portions. I was able to freeze them.
He ate all six, everybody. Let's be honest.
There's one left. There's one left.
Very good.
But I also came, because of this, found a new tip with reheating frozen food.
Oh, do tell.
In his tip for reheating the frozen food, when you put it in the microwave, you get a damp paper towel and you place it over the food and you microwave it that way. And then the damp paper towel kind of turns into steam, so it doesn't dry your food out as much. Right. And it worked an absolute treat.
Oh, so it's keeping it moist.
Absolutely. It's keeping it so moist.
And capturing any of the spray and splatter, I guess.
Too. Yeah, as well, as well.
We do love to keep it moist in the kitchen.
Low splatter, high moisture. That's that tip. That's very good. But highly recommended.
Yeah, sounds great. Might try that one.
What about you, Milo?
Oh, nothing as adventurous as that. We made a masman curry this week, but it was one of the recipe kit ones. So everything was organized for me. I didn't have to do any, you know, making of the spice blends or anything like that. But it was pretty fun, and my partner decided that he wanted a little bit more chili in it, which I was not happy about at first, but it turned out pretty delicious.
Oh. So taking it and then kind of adding your own little spin on it.
Yeah, you know, and you just like open the fridge and think, what else can I add to this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And you're just going, go easy on the chili.
Yeah, I was sitting on the couch afterwards. Not too much. I was like, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah. Excellent. No,
great.
So, but what sort of meat did you have in the curry?
We did it
with
pork.
What was the protein? Pork.
Yeah.
Was that part of the kit as well?
No, that's like a choose your own adventure when it comes to the protein, yeah.
What was ever in the fridge? Well, if you are listening, and we hope you are, you can text us in on 0427 569 949 or email onair@joy.org.au and tell us, hey, what have you been up to this week with your eating? Anything fabulous?
What was your highlight meal of the week? We've just shared ours and we would love to hear yours.
Yeah.
Do you use kit meals at all?
I've never used a kit meal.
No?
No.
No. Not a recipe base where you get like some of it in a packet?
No.
I do love the packet like burrito and enchiladas. They're always a go-to.
There's some really nice ones now.
And there's also ones which is like my mum calls them a Marion. So there's this MasterChef contestant called Marion.
Oh,
she's
got
all of these like kit meals and you can do like laxes and green curries.
I see what you mean.
And then like they give you little portions of like the fried onions.
Yeah.
And then you just add like coconut milk and stuff.
Yeah, it comes with, sometimes they just come with a little portion of coconut milk ready to go.
So sometimes if mum's made something like a little bit fancy, she's like, oh, it was just a Marion.
Yeah, I relate.
Don't knock Marion.
No.
So, I think we've got some messages, have we?
Already?
Let's have a look.
Let's have a little click here. The mouse. here come the juice jokes again. I know it's low-hanging fruit, Wayne, but, you know, it always gets a laugh.
And this one's for you, Milo. Eat the goddamn chili.
I did. You would have been proud of me. I ate it. I enjoyed it. It was just like a little more than I would have put in if I was by myself.
Yeah,
exactly.
Keep it hot.
Yeah.
Sasha and Anna, they're teaching me slowly.
Yeah, they've introduced a lot of chili into our lives, haven't they?
All right, we're going to take a quick little break. And, when we come back, we are going to break down what fad diets we've experienced.
Go back in time.
And what ones we've kind of heard about lately. Stick around. You're listening to Everybody Eats with Brett, Robbie and Milo on Joy 94.9.
Mix a spoonful of laughter, a handful of diverse conversation, a pinch of queer flair, and you've got Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Everybody Eats on Joy. Brett, Robbie, and I are talking fad diets tonight. So, gang, have we tried any? Have you seen anything crazy come up in the press and thought, I'm going to give that a go?
Well, interestingly, when we were doing the production meeting for this show, Sasha sort of reminded me about the old grapefruit diet. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, I'm sure I've tried one of these diets before. And you jogged my memory. And that's why I was saying before, I can never look at a grapefruit ever again. I think it was in the 90s.
Mm.
A lot of stuff happened for me in the 90s.
What was the grapefruit diet all about, though? Like, what did you do, just eat grapefruit?
It was known as the Hollywood diet, and it involved eating a grapefruit or drinking the juice of a grapefruit. So you weren't just eating or drinking grapefruit. It was with all your other food. And I think the idea of it was that it was meant to burn down fat quickly and leading to weight loss and all this sort of jazz. So
right. And so how many a day were you eating?
I did it for like a month.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, I mean, you know, I've never looked at grapefruit ever again. And
it's just so bitter.
Oh, it's so bitter.
I don't love them.
Yeah. But as Anna said, the Vietnamese grapefruits are much sweeter. Yeah.
Right.
So that's nice.
I remember reading once that, and maybe this is why that craze fell away, that something happens when you have grapefruit and it can interact with any medications that you're taking. And it means that, like, if you're eating a lot of grapefruit, it means the drug enters your blood and stays in your system for longer. And so it's causing people to have these weird reactions due to the medications they were on. So maybe that's why it doesn't exist anymore. They're like,
Everyone was tripping on their grapefruits.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was very popular at the time. What about you, Brad? Did you try anything?
The one diet that was a little bit, I would say, fatty that I tried, for a while I was following Tim Ferriss, who is kind of a business entrepreneur, and he does a lot of life hacking, body hacking. He has a book called The 4-Hour Workweek, all about kind of designing your life and working smarter, not harder. And he also has a book called The 4-Hour Body, which I really got into. And for me, it tends to be a diet that I go back to quite regularly. It's called the slow carb diet. And basically, it limits your carb intake. It's one of those ones that's a little bit against carbs, but you basically have a protein, a legume like lentils, beans, or something like that, and then vegetables with every single meal. The principles of the diet are that you eat the same meals over and over again every single day, so you're eliminating choice.
Yeah.
Lots of variety.
Well, yeah, like a typical... You would basically follow the rules, design something that works for you, and just do it over and over again. But the thing that I liked about it was that one day a week, and it was actually, you had to do it, was a cheat day.
Oh, bring on the cheat day.
A cheat day to the point where you were told that you had to not, it's going to sound extreme, but like physically make yourself sick. I'm not saying make yourself sick, but eat the junkiest food.
Yeah.
Go all out.
So it really turns you off.
So that you're like, you've totally like overdone it.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time the next day comes, you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to eat my lentils. Same meals, my lentils.
I don't think
lentils.
That would work for me. I'd be like, ugh, back to lentils.
But the funny thing was that
pizza every day.
When you're eating, well, the thing is I designed the meals myself, so I actually liked the meals that I was eating. But I just, it was funny when you do cut those things out and you do have a cheat day where you can eat absolutely anything, the things that you crave kind of surprise you.
Mm.
For me, it was pancakes swimming in maple syrup.
Yum.
Yeah. Oh,
I got to the end of the week.
That's my favorite breakfast.
And I bet you hadn't had that in like months.
No.
All of a sudden, you're like, I must have it now.
But, yeah, you obviously, you do 6 days on this diet, and then it's like, pizza's a huge one for me. Yeah, but then it was like, pizza. Yeah, you can go for any junk food you want.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza. You can go, like, you know, pancakes. You can go chocolate.
And then you're just like, oh, I'm done after a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a lentil.
Yeah, and then you're back into it, and then I was back into my spinach omelets with a side of lentils and carrot mash.
I don't mind a bit of that monotonous health food if you know you can stick to it and it helps with your routine. I used to do that when I was training really hard at the gym. And my flatmates would make fun of me for having the same dinner, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. But I was like, I don't care. It's working for me.
There's something about the repetition of it, isn't
and
there?
Especially if you've had a like long day at work and you don't have to think about it. You're just like, I know what I'm cooking. It's great.
Yeah. You buy all the same ingredients.
Exactly.
Or you prepare a large portion and then it's just eat the same things. It's kind of like that food is just fuel type mentality.
Yeah. And we did want to mention too that we're not saying that we are endorsing any of these diets as well. We're just sharing our experience and some of the absurdity of what's going out there.
How they tend to crop up in pop culture
and
then fall by the wayside.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think as well, looking at the why as to why people go down these paths to begin with. I mean, for me, it was more of a health journey. It wasn't really to put on or lose weight at that particular time. But it's just, it was more just health, well-being, extending your life. The older you get, the more you start to think about those things,
I think, I guess.
Yeah.
Sasha mentioned too the cabbage diet, and I thought, I was thinking about that last night. I thought, oh, my God, imagine living with someone who's on the cabbage diet.
That wouldn't smell good.
No. If you lit a match, it'll just blow up the kitchen.
Well,
methane bombs and cabbage. Oh, no. Oh.
Funnily enough, on the slow-carb diet, because you are eating quite a lot, like you're eating lentils are not too bad, but beans and eating beans with every meal, I'd do like a cauliflower mash, but I'd also blend in like, you know, white beans or pinto beans or something like that. So I was having, I don't like the consistency of beans, so I would mash it up so it's just like a mash and it's actually really, really nice and it's high protein as well. Oh, but you would get so farty. On this diet, super, super farty.
Well, welcome to my world as a vegan. I mean, get with the program, you lot. It's Bean City and
just
Fart City. Yeah. What was really interesting too when we were talking about this was realizing how big the 80s were and the changes that it brought, not only with fashion but food and, you know, trends that came in. And it's you forget the things that happen. And I was looking up and it said when bottled water came in. And it's hard to remember when we didn't have bottled water.
Yeah.
You know, like at home we were drinking out of the tap as kids. It was like bottled water, that's just super fancy, you know. And only posh people had it.
Well, we've got water in the tap. Why do you need to buy it from the shops?
Exactly. We had six kids. My mum wasn't buying us bottled water. She's like, drink it out of the tap. But also brought the yuppie trends of baby veggies, premium ice cream products.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Norgan Vars.
Premium like Viennetta.
Yes, Viennetta.
Love a Viennetta.
And you're going to love this, the good old-fashioned wine coolers.
And West Coast wine coolers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was just like pure sugar, wasn't it? And then heaps of the light and low-fat items. That's when that sort of all came in, you know, this low-fat cottage cheese and diet. Well, we had the Australian model with the tab, Elle Macpherson.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Modelling tab drinks.
Tab?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, going way back.
That's going way back, yeah.
Yeah, so things like that. But it's hard for us to remember that change and when it came through.
Well, and also, I guess, like at that time, it was ultra-processed foods were really like hitting their straps. And also, like, pop culture-wise, glamour magazines were dominating everything. So, we had those changes culturally, and so then all of a sudden these, like, fad diets became really big and was another thing they could put in the magazines to make us feel bad about ourselves.
Well, exactly.
You just think of the body image of, like, kind of 60s and 70s, like, you've got that Marilyn Monroe ideal body, which was, you know, that
voluptuous.
A little bit fuller, voluptuous.
Really, which we love.
Going into that skinny 80s body where it was all about, you know, especially for, you know, female identifying people, skinny body, big hair.
Big shoulder pads.
Yeah.
I wonder if the big hair will ever come back.
Well, didn't they used to call Elle Macpherson the body?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was her nickname.
Yeah. A commodity, isn't it?
Which was basically telling everyone that's the ideal. That is what you want to be. So, of course, everyone, it was just all about weight loss. And then it was really like the 80s were like a war on fat. So everything had to be low-fat diet.
Mm. Low-fat pizza, low-fat mac and cheese.
Yep.
We don't mind.
But I think we're a bit smarter about those things now. Like we know what it means when it says low sugar. It's like what are they swapping things out for? And we've got more choice now when it comes to ingredients.
Spice up your night with Everybody Eats, serving you the best in food, fun, and fabulousness. Enjoy!
That's right. This is Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9, a food theme show where we celebrate food, fun and fabulousness every Tuesday. My name is Brett and I am here with Robbie and Milo.
Hello, friends.
Hello. And thank you, Wayne, for reminding us of that beautiful fashion accessory, the parachute material track pants, track suits in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
Sasha said Prada's bringing back their own range at the moment. Yeah. Everywhere. Oh, it's still the same.
Yeah. Still parachute.
Okay. Well, we need to get ourselves some Prada tracksuits.
We have been chatting about 80s trends because we are exploring fad food diets of the past, and they started getting really crazy around the 80s. But you'd be surprised to know that even as far back as like the 20s or even further, there have been some crazy diet fads. Do you want to hear a few that I came across?
I know. Definitely. I'm like the 20s, but then that makes sense. I mean, it was the height of Hollywood and...
Mm-hmm. So, I came across a Vogue article that kind of went through some...
cigarettes and coffee, is that a diet?
Oh, my God. The first one is the cigarette diet.
The supermodel diet.
It was literally promoted as like an appetite suppressant.
Like an actually published...
Yeah.
So, what did they say?
Basically, just that, you know, cigarette suppresses your appetite.
And so that was their solution.
So, yeah, smoke cigarettes so that you can, you know...
stay trim.
You know, stay trim. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not great. Leave that one in back in the day.
There are some other crazy ones that came along. One of them that a lot of people probably would have heard of came around, I believe, in the around the 1930s, 1940s, was the Master Cleanse.
Mm. Okay, what does that involve?
Was that before MasterChef?
I think so. I think MasterChef may have stole the name. Nah. but this was one of those... almost like a juice detox type thing.
Yeah.
It was drinking a mixture of lemon juice, maple syrup, cayenne pepper and water throughout the day.
I've heard of that.
So, I think it's about a 10-day cleanse. You just have it for about 10 days and you're supposed to shed all of this weight. It kind of disappeared for a while, but it came back in the early 2000s.
The
Do you know why?
Diet. What? No, what? Why?
Oh, I thought you may know why.
Not why.
All Beyonce's fault.
Oh, right.
Oh, Beyonce wasn't doing the salt and pepper diet, was she?
No, but she apparently did use the Master Cleanse diet to get in shape for Dreamgirls.
Really?
In 2006.
Oh.
So, obviously, if Beyonce does it, there was a lot of people following.
Wow. I'm surprised that they published that.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it was, you know...
Yeah.
20 years ago, 2006. Yeah. Ah.
It's making us feel terribly old here.
Yeah, but there's other crazy ones that I came across. Mm. The tapeworm diet.
Oh, no.
No, that's not Gil. No. From like old school Hollywood days.
So, from what I...
Yeah, tell us more.
What I came across in my, travels down the internet, you could get... I think it's in pill form. And it's
Buy a tapeworm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And it's tapeworm like larvae or it's like eggs. So basically when you digest it, it basically hatches and attaches to your stomach and basically, you know, in your digestive system eats all of the excess food. So you can eat a lot, but you're not passing it all because this tapeworm is eating it
awful.
All.
And then what happens? Like, surely you've got to get rid of it at some point.
When is the expiry date of the tapeworm?
Yeah, when do you become a tapeworm?
When do you have to go to hospital and have the tapeworm?
Surely you have to go to the doctors at some point and say, like, I need you to get rid of this now because...
This is eating all my roughage. It's got to stop.
I think it's supposed to naturally kind of pass through your system. However, disclaimer, like you even need one with this.
Yeah.
It can lead to a lot of abdominal pain.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Also get attached to non-digestive organs.
Oh,
they can kill you.
This sounds so terrifying. Don't try at home, kids.
The things we do in the name of beauty.
Oh, my goodness.
No, thank you.
Shocking.
That's awful.
But
what about the idea of clean eating?
Clean eating?
Yeah. Like, you know, a little bit more healthier and well-being and...
I think all of these fad diets have a... I would say they aim to promote healthy and clean, as crazy as they are. But yeah, what does clean eating
mean? Yeah, what does that
mean to you?
Well, funny you should mention that. Mm. I did a little bit of clean eating with my boot camp.
Yeah.
So our trainer likes to set like little challenges for everybody. One time we did a squats for the whole month of May and raised money for breast cancer. We raised $7,000. And this one was a clean eating challenge. So basically it's actually not even a diet. It's actually about building healthy habits. Mm. So each week you introduce something new. And like, say, for example, we had to have a vegetable with every meal that we had. So meaning like breakfast. Mm. You had to have veggies with your breakfast and stuff. So that didn't bother me, being vegan, but some people I know found that challenging. Mm. So, yeah, and then we added in like fermented foods, not in front of the television.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I live on my own and, you know, mm-hmm. I barely sit at the table and have dinner. I'm always plonking myself on the couch and watching a show
I'm
and eating.
I'm the same,
100%, I'm the same.
Yeah. And so you get into, you're not really sort of mindful. You're just chugging down that food.
Before you know it, the whole meal's disappeared and you're still glued to the TV.
Yeah, and you haven't really tasted it and, you know, you're not really sure what's going on. So we had gut health, high protein recipes, and we also had to eat in that 12-hour window. So all those things that you're introducing, you have to keep it all going for the month. So you keep on eating the veggies at breakfast.
I like that now that we are a bit smarter that we're using the word challenge about these instead of a diet, we're using healthy words and it becomes a food challenge and you try and game yourself into doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's much healthier than what we were all doing in the 80s. Because it is about 90s,
It is about building those habits, you know, if that's what you want to do and like just live a little bit, you know, a bit more of a healthier lifestyle.
It becomes a bit of a catchphrase where it's like, this isn't a diet, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
There's a lot of those. I think that's probably what differs a fad diet between a more of a lifestyle choice.
Because, they tend to be easier to maintain.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about you, Mala? You were telling us about some tech guy.
Yeah, I was just really...
It was really interesting.
Like, we've all heard of like meal replacements and those diet shakes that were really big. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, but there was this tech company or a couple of people who worked in Silicon Valley and they were eating really badly all the time, you know, frozen meals, ramen and things like that. And so they decided that they wanted to invent their own meal replacement powder, like a shake. But this time it would provide all the energy and nutrients that the body needs and can absorb. And so it went viral and they like raised $3 million in backing for this protein shake type thing, and everyone was really into it. But I just thought, I can't imagine like giving up the ritual of preparing the food and then the enjoyment of eating food just because you have something that is, you know, prepackaged like a powdered shake that does tick all the boxes and gives you all of the nutrients that you need. It doesn't sound satisfying. I think you get bored of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the where you completely cut out fats or you completely cut out carbs, you just don't feel satiated and you open yourself up to the risk that you will binge, you will cheat.
Yeah, just because it's ticking all the boxes doesn't mean you're not going to have that plus a snack.
There's that.
I've always feel like if I have a smoothie or something like that, I always feel like I'm not really that full, you know, like whether I have a bowl of cereal with fruit and nuts and whatever on top, I always feel like a bit more satisfied. But with a juice or a smoothie, I'm like, I want a little something afterwards.
I guess some people, if they really just don't want to have to think about anything and they want to make sure they're getting all their nutrients and minerals and whatnot, that would be a good
example. If you're busy, if you're on the go, and that's where that whole, you know, 80s trend of, what is it, the slim fast, craze goes and all of these.
And if the solution is a bit more science-backed, then I suppose it could be good for other things. Like, for example, in a natural disaster where there's no way to get people food or cooking equipment, maybe they could just helicopter in a whole bunch of this powder and people could sustain life for a while. That's pretty good. But, yeah, not for my day-to-day, I don't think.
No,
me neither. It is all about the ritual, the coming together with others, even just the act of chewing and tasting and enjoying.
having some control over what you choose as well when you go to the supermarket, not just having a packet of porridge looking.
Exactly. And coming up, we're going to be talking about some crazy trends that we've seen out there. So if you've got any crazy trends, let us know on 0427 569 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
And if you're listening on the podcast, you can also get in touch with us at everybodyeats@joy.org.au. We are on all of the podcast platforms, and if you are listening via podcast, we appreciate you listening.
Setting up a big plate of joy every week. This is Everybody Eats on Joy 94.9.
That's right. You're listening to Everybody Eats on Joy with Robbie, Brett, and I'm Milo. And today we're talking about fad diets, and we're talking about what's going on, social media trends, and what else, gang?
Well, remember when we were looking at, you know, some of the crazy things that we used to do or that we've heard of?
What have you come across?
Well, I think it was very popular down at the Coles at Paran. If you're listening,
mm-hmm.
And when people were placing bananas in their shopping trolley, and there was a certain way that you angled the banana to say if you're single or taken.
Yeah, I remember this too. Coles New Farm in Brisbane. Yeah, if you push your trolley around with a bunch of bananas at the front on top, meant you were single.
So it was just like a big bunch or just a couple? Or
I don't think it mattered how many bananas.
Did you have to push a banana through?
You didn't
have to
do
trolley?
Any, no.
Like you just like a little like
nothing
it pushes
suggested
through, like,
with the bananas. They were just there as an indicator.
So the banana didn't penetrate the trolley. It was just there.
No, they were just strategically placed ever so nicely just to say, hey, I'm here. I'm queer and I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
And is this for action?
Did you have any success up in Queensland with those?
Not immediate success, but like it was just like a nod. You'd walk past and be like,
hey, I see you.
Yeah, like
I know what
like
you're
a
doing
friend
there.
Of Dorothy type situation, except with bananas.
There wasn't any success by the rice counter or anything like that in the supermarket. Okay. But anyway, I thought that was cute.
I've never heard of that before, but I'm going to be looking in the grocery store a whole new way.
Brett's going to Coles on the way home.
I'm going to Coles on the way home and I'm picking up some bananas.
Yeah. Well, any supermarket we can go to.
That's right.
Yeah. What about the old watermelon steaks? That was an interesting one.
Oh, yeah. Now, tell me about that.
Yeah, they're actually really nice. Sasha and I have had them. She took me down memory lane. Obviously, it was like, you know, slicing up a watermelon in the shape of a steak.
And but then it you had actually fry it.
Yeah, you have olive oil and garlic and salt and pepper, soy sauce, tamari,
and
a
so
bit
what
of miso.
Happens? 'Cause like,
it sort of it forms like a glaze on it and makes it sort of marinated. And it's really nice.
Like on a bit sweet and salty.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd like it. I don't like sweet and salty mixes.
Yeah, I know you've got a few little quirky things we're finding out about.
Can you
give it a try?
Oh, I mean, I'll try it. I'll give anything a try once, but generally
you're either one or the other?
Apart from salted caramel. Of course, everyone loves a good salted caramel, but popcorn, like sweet and salty popcorn.
Yeah,
bowl.
No, that's delicious. I love putting Maltesers in my popcorn at the cinema, and then you mix them all through, and then you just get a little, like a sweet surprise with your popcorn, and they melt in, and it's delicious. Like, honestly, you have to try it.
Oh, my goodness. Possibly.
You'll love it.
It's all sweet, so then it's like...
No, you still get your salty popcorn, but every now and then you get a little surprise Malteser.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, all right. You heard it here first.
Okay.
Food trend alert.
Let us know.
Okay, well, I'm not sure about the watermelon, though. I'd give it a go if you made it for me.
Okay. Well, I might make it for you one time.
Thanks.
What about, and you, Brett, have you got any other little crazes that were popular or you used to hear about, little trends?
There's definitely some more crazy diets that I came across. Some of these are basically just eating disorders masquerading as diets. Mm. So I feel like we don't even need to say, like,
don't need to preface
don't
this
follow
with,
this.
Do not try this at home.
One that I, oh my God, I can't believe some of the ones that I came across. The air diet, also known as breatharianism.
What? That's not a thing.
It's a thing. This is 100% a thing.
It is, you know, because I think I mentioned that last night. A bit of fresh breath of air and lettuce.
So this diet in quotation marks, claims that individuals can live on air and sunlight alone without the need for food or water.
I'd like to see them in the real world working, going to work and taking someone down because they're out of control and never eaten.
Oh, my God. It would take, for me, it would take hangry to a whole new level.
Who invented this? Like, what is it? Is it just somebody who was doing some intermittent fasting and decided that they needed to be a bit extra when telling their colleagues about it?
There is a Hindu monk. His name is Prahlad Jani. And he apparently lived for years and years and years without food.
I can understand that with a Hindu monk.
So this is
being in a cave and meditating and... Yeah, I can get that.
Apparently, he claimed that the goddess Amber would give water in his throat. So, in the back of his throat, she would drip water down and that would sustain him.
Wow.
Yeah. But
so
through
he had
his belief.
His own personal goddess while he was doing this. Wow.
Pretty much. But then they did like scientific studies where he would be in isolated rooms for 2 weeks
There was some science behind this.
There is some science behind it, but it is a little bit skeptical. Okay. But yeah.
Well, I guess you would have – so a lot of people who do like a lot of the monks and stuff, you know, have visions and things like that when they're doing that long-term meditating in the caves and things like that. So I guess you would see things that are coming to you that may not be even real.
However, taking that as a precedent and then, you know, putting it into your – own life as you're walking down like Chapel Street, probably not a good idea.
No.
Another one in that similar kind of area, the Sleeping Beauty diet.
Oh my God, tell me about it.
What is it?
This is so horrible, I can't even say it. It involves sedating oneself for several days to avoid eating with the belief that the body would burn fat while asleep.
Oh.
No, I've been leaning over in my sleep trying to find something, I'm sure. Subconsciously, I'd be reaching
these
going.
These are terrible. I can't believe that these have been publicised or, like,
this
published
is like
anywhere.
Actually, like, yeah, this was apparently.
I wonder if anybody lived to tell the tale from these Sleeping Beauty ones.
Popular in the 60s, apparently.
Just go to bed for a few days, babe. You will, like, lose so much weight.
How have we gotten to this place, really?
That's wild.
That is crazy.
The baby food diet. So, this one you are actually allowed to eat.
I feel like I've heard about this one via Sex and the City, but...
Was it on Sex and the City?
It was on a TV show.
Yeah.
It was on something, yeah.
I'm pretty good with my Sex and the City knowledge, so, yeah, I don't think...
baby
I'm
food.
Not sure.
Like
but,
little,
yeah.
Little.
But basically, yeah, you would eat, like, baby food, like, replace... Sometimes it's, like, replace two meals or replace all meals just with little jars of baby food.
Nope.
Because, yeah, apparently you're supposed... That helps... It's basically a way of just controlling your portion sizes.
Yeah.
So, any diet, when you eat less...
It's a fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
There was a big drama, actually, because there's a lot of diets that are really marketing campaigns, like, masquerading as diets.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few years ago, there was the Special K Challenge.
Mm.
Replace two of your meals with a bowl of cereal and you could lose weight, but... Of course you will, because you haven't eaten a meal.
Yeah.
You just had a little bit of cereal.
Calories. Yeah, okay.
We used to eat cereal after school as a snack.
Yeah.
That was our go-to. Like, my mum had about 5 or 6 cereals, and we'd just go and pick and that bang into a bowl. That was our come-from-home snack
and easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Followed by a proper meal.
There's another one as well. I just actually, on my way over here, was listening to a podcast and they referenced it. It's called the Shangri-La diet.
Oh, that sounds exotic. Do tell.
It sounds exotic, but it actually, I reckon, would be torture. It's basically you have a spoonful of vegetable oil in the morning and in the evening, and that's it.
Oil.
Vegetable oil.
Only.
Yeah. And what
so you're
actually-
giving yourself a grease and oil change.
Basically, yeah. Mm. Basically. What it's supposed to do is you're not supposed to taste it. You're not supposed to smell it. So, you would hold your nose and you would have this spoonful of... I'm getting really distracted by the messages.
Well, there's sort of a little diet that one of our friends in another state's mentioned about. What about the diet for bottoms, eating lots of fiber?
Well, that's true.
That is true. Keep your fiber up.
Oh, goodness. Where was
followed
I?
Followed by a glass of Milo.
Well, that's why the juice diets could never work, because we got no fiber. People who were just smoothieing everything, turning vegetables and fruits into their only source of nutrition, feels like a good idea because it's full of vegetables and fruits, but then you've got no fiber. It's not good for your insides.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, a lot of people have juices after having big hangovers. They go on a bit of a juice cleanse.
Yeah, but you're adding that to your pizza.
Yeah. You're like having a slice of pizza, a glass of juice.
A green juice, and everything's good.
You're on your way. I love that.
Another one, the werewolf diet.
Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine.
Does this involve hairs on the palms or ripping someone's face off because you're hangry?
Is that where you just don't eat while the moon is in its full phase?
Basically.
Oh, my God.
Basically, it is to do with...
running around the woods at night?
It's basically, limiting your food intake and aligning your eating habits with the phases of the moon. And particularly, intermittent fasting. It's just a form of intermittent fasting based around the moon cycles. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, they say that, like, full moons make everyone a little bit...
Randy?
Cuckoo, yeah. So, I feel like not eating is not going to help.
Yeah, you're running through the bushes stark raving mad because you haven't eaten. Yeah. You've been on your sunshine and air diet. Of course you're on the werewolf diet by then. Where's Robbie? Goodness. Oh, she's gone mad. She's in the bushes. She hasn't eaten for days. You're listening to Everybody Eats with Brett, Milo and Robbie on 94.9. And we just want to let you know what's happening next week.
What is happening next week?
Oh,
do we have a forward plan this week?
We do. What I can tell you is we're going to have a fabulous interview with Melissa Williams, who's the president of Positive Attitude Inc. I don't know if you know about them, but they're doing fabulous work in providing practical and social support for people living with HIV and other members of the LGBTIQ+ community.
I look forward to
Wonderful.
That.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Our first interview. That's exciting.
I know. So stay tuned because they are doing incredible work for our community. It's going to be great.
Wonderful.
So we're looking forward to that.
Well, thanks for listening this week. I've had fun chatting about these crazy diet trends.
Yeah, a lot of throwbacks.
I think what we realised too, we were just having a conversation, is like, I don't know, when do we get to a stage where we're happy with ourselves?
Mm. Yeah.
We don't have to worry about that anymore.
No.
I think...
Not yet for me.
For me, I mean, everyone always has their struggles, I think, with body image. But for me, when it came to my approach to food, I spent, the beginning of my childhood, teens, even 20s, probably underweight. I was your typical skinny boy. Now I'm... probably a normal weight, but I consider myself overweight in comparison to where I was before. So I think it's just not really where you see yourself changing your body, but more in terms of just your health and well-being. And that, I think, is always for me with what I put into my body, even if it's just to make me feel happy and have like something junky just because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That's kind of my
approach.
Let's
be happy with ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
Let's celebrate that. We're absolutely fabulous, and so are you if you're listening. And
we just focus on good, healthy food.
Yeah, and we look forward to seeing you all next week. You've been listening to Everybody Eats with Brett, Robbie and Milo.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Everybody Eats on Joy. Catch us again next week for more food, fun and fabulous conversations. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Everybody Eats Joy to stay connected.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.